All right. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. This is Jackie Salvitti and my wonderful co-host, Veronica Entwistle.
Hi,
Ilani.
Jackie. Hi, everybody.
All right, guys, we've got a very interesting show tonight, and I've had a really rough time preparing for this show, so I'm still going through a lot of cellular shifts, so as I told Ronnie, I'm sick as a dog, but I'll be fine once we get through this.
This show is being used as a clearing process.
Yes, it wasn't intended for that, but it definitely, at least it wasn't in my mind, you know. Tonight's topic, subjective reality in the new world. Tonight I'm going to tell a story that I really had not planned on sharing. But it sure will bring it home, I think, for everybody about the new world and subjective reality. This is a real difficult story for me to tell because it's loaded with a lot of emotion. And it's also embarrassing, I guess, in some ways. But, you know, the team is continuing to explain to me how my life works, and so I'm beginning to trust it. Sort of. As they explained yesterday, my life is a living parable. And so every experience, in essence, instead of it being told as a story, it's lived as a story. And I wish they had told me a little sooner. Like, you know, 40 years ago would have been good.
And so what would you have done then?
I don't know. Anyway, I sent this out before they explained to me about the living parable thing. When I wrote, the team has assured me this is an important story that will have an impact on everyone that listens. Lots of healing and aha moments for everyone. And again, I didn't understand the living parable thing. Show dedication. For us to make a choice to have the life of our dreams in this very subjective reality and be able to release those that we need to release to have their own subjective reality. And that includes family members, guys, because that's going to be coming up here real quick. I'd like to share, you know, this, as all this happened to me, I hadn't seen any of the channelings or anything, and when they came in, it was just like somebody kicked me in the stomach because they were so right on. So I'd like to share just a couple of things here to kind of set this up. This one is from Celia Finn, Clarity and Compassion. After the 999, September 9th of 2009, in the wake of the powerful September 9th transitions, we seem to be once moving through some turbulent and unstable energy. It's almost as though there needs to be a settling process as the powerful new waves of light are adjusted into our spectrum of reality. In the wake of this process, we may find ourselves feeling as though we don't quite know where we are or what is happening around us. We're truly in a new space and place, and many of us are experiencing feelings of strangeness and unfamiliarity. You may feel as though you do not know this place that once was so familiar, or you may feel that you don't know how to go on as everything seems so different and alien to you. Well, the point of being awake is that you're aware of life and all its many facets and features, and when life flows as it's meant to, then endings and beginnings are a part of the grand flow. We say goodbye even as we open the door to the new adventures and the new opportunities. And giving ourselves permission to feel these energies on a deep level is part of the process. Sometimes we may feel deep and intense joy and bliss. Other times we may feel despair and anxiety. But we are feeling and we are being present in our own lives. And at times like this, it's good to have the trust that all will be well because we are being guided and led by our higher energies and guidance. It's good to trust that we will have the energy and the inspiration to guide us out of any places of discomfort and into new places of joy and peace, for we are now all learning how to be creators of our own reality. One of the most challenging aspects of the new diamond light with which we live is the absolute clarity of intention and action that is demanded of us in our lives and our interactions with others. I'm finding that everything that is not in clarity and alignment with higher good is immediately brought to my attention, and I'm having to deal with these things whether I like it or not. It's so important now that we speak our truth and that we live our truth, and that we are totally clear about what we want and where we're going in life. If we do not, we will be drawn into the creations of others who have clearer intentions and may find ourselves in places that we don't want to be. This one, by the way, just came in before the show, so it didn't get out to everybody. It will next week. Another effect of the diamond light is the effect it has on relationships. Only those that are clear and in alignment with the highest good will survive. Those that are based on neediness and manipulation are very quickly being shown up for what they are. And so clarity of personal intention is also necessary within relationships and within the way we express ourselves to others. Because so many relationships are based on emotional neediness and manipulation, many people are finding that their relationships are no longer working or are in difficulty at this time. Yes, it's not easy, and we're needing to draw on all our strength and resources and skills as we set about creating this new reality of heaven on earth. We're having to learn who we are and to be very clear about how we express who we are. We're having to accept that we are part of the flow and change that is life, and that we are always growing and changing, that nothing stays the same in life. For many, September 9th marked the final completion. That meant that we were absolutely and positively completely done with the old reality in lower dimensions. Thus, a massive cord was severed, and we are now cut off from everything old, our prior lives, our prior roles, our prior everything, really. This can feel like much of everything is far away and now residing in another world. We can feel suddenly removed from much and from individuals we were connected to before. It can be near impossible to communicate with those who are residing elsewhere, either through communication problems or even with technology. And of course, Mercury being retrograde is adding to this. Yes, we've been removed for a while as this process unfolded, but what is different now is that the remaining tendrils are now being very suddenly severed, like a knife cutting out and removing lower vibrating energies from our lives. In one last fell swoop, any remaining cords are now being cut. Seemingly, whether we like it or not, if we've crossed over to the other side, we are no longer allowed these connections to those in the old reality in ways that we had prior. What is occurring here is the separation of the worlds. The vast chasm between the rungs of the ascension ladder is most certainly at hand now, and around the window of time of September 9th, we were asked to choose. We were asked if we wanted to move forward into the new reality, stay behind, and experience the suffering, or leave the planet altogether. Enough time had passed for each and every soul on this planet to get on board, to open to Source, to examine his and her patterns and beliefs, to make changes, and to be willing to grow. The time was up, the decisions were made, and now the results of those decisions are now beginning to manifest. The separation of the worlds will not be pleasant in many ways, but it is all relevant to how we choose to perceive things. Those who stayed behind, this is so interesting that this came in today. Those who stayed behind or who ceased to chose to remain in the old world and old reality, unwilling to make changes and to open, will now experience a massive amount of suffering and destruction. I'm normally not a doom and gloom writer, but I must stay true to what is occurring. And unfortunately, this will be the new scenario. Wake-up calls almost always occur through suffering or hitting rock bottom or through desperation. Thus, this will be the scenario for those existing on the other side from where we are now are. But for those who choose to move forward, a vastly different scenario will be present. Those who choose to stay on the earth and who choose to be willing to trust and open to a very new beginning and new experience, who are willing to let go of much of everything and who are very ready, are now finally beginning the first stages of creating their own heaven on earth. Almost done, guys. It can become very clear and detailed about what it is that we want to create for ourselves and what exactly that will look like. Then it is now finally time to experience it. Miracles will occur. We will be safe and secure. We will be in a new world and a new land. And most assuredly have a very new beginning without the struggling, pain, negativity, loss, and much else that we may have encountered in past times. For me, this is a painful process in regard to who has been left behind. I've lost my father and my mother, now my daughter and grandchildren. This is from Karen Wings. Those severing energies cut so deep and strong that it feels like a terrible death has occurred. But the worst part for me is in watching my loved ones suffer so. But I know as well that they are all on their own individual journeys, and these journeys can be beautiful to watch at the soul levels. You know, in addition to the story I'm going to tell you tonight, I also have a daughter that is like Karen. I've had to let go, and it's also very painful. So lots of changes going on for people. Anyway, I'm going to talk tonight about this story about John. I fell in love at the end of May, and I think a lot of people either kind of picked that up over the shows or knew it because they have sessions or knew me personally. And it was a very interesting relationship because after 15 years of not being in relationship, we just went out and he just stayed, and that was kind of it. it was a very unusual relationship from the beginning. Everyone around me kind of saw this as an important relationship. In the beginning, I really thought that I was going to marry this man. I have to be honest about that. I know, Veronica, you looked at it, and God, a lot of people looked at it, and, you know, he had some big guides, and he'd had a near death, and so it was kind of like dealing with two people at the same time. There was this very physical person, and then there was this higher level being. So it was
the way I always saw him is he had huge potential.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah. That and $5 will get you a Starbucks. Oh God. At any rate, as time kind of went on with him, he began to trigger, not his fault, my issues with every man I've ever loved, issues about secrecy, the truth, drinking, lack of intimacy, and on and on and on and on. However, I had this uncontrollable need to take care of him. And this is what was so fascinating to me. I knew that I had daddy issues with him, as he had had a stroke, and the love of his life had left him for another man. But there was something about him, truly, that, you know, kind of reminded me, I guess, of my dad. There was a familiarity with him that felt like a very strong soul connection, which I'm sure it was. And all of the other stuff, it was really interesting to me that I made a jillion excuses for him. You know, I mean, everything he did was okay. My son referred to him as Baby Jesus. So I kept telling my son,
right.
What? Yeah, I kept telling my son that I was observing and waiting to see who he really was, and that only time would show that. And, you know, after all, he was the patriarchal masculine archetype, you know, the big businessman who carried a lot of authority from the minute I first met him, and that was the masculine that I was the most familiar with and the most attracted to. Therein lies the problem also. I found myself, however, because I was cooking all these gourmet meals, working very hard as I always do, and spending a ton of money. I mean, I would spend the whole weekend literally grocery shopping. I'd go to 4 different grocery stores, and, of course, in the Las Vegas heat, you've got to run home in between every store and unpack. And, God. And so I had absolutely no time for myself. I mean, I was exhausted all the time. And I felt the resentment starting to build, you know, and but he did travel a great deal, and he was always talking about the next big deal that he was going to close and the millions that were coming at the end of the first, end of July and then August and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, interestingly enough, I had this absolute conviction that he would make it all right and everything was great and this was, you know, the big one and on and on. There were a couple of other little things that happened that, I think the first week I knew him, you know, under the, whether it was guys or not, I don't know, but he was very concerned about how hard I worked and so on and so forth, and you know, he had all these different investments because he was in the mortgage business, private lending, so on and so forth, and, you know, he'd been known in this town for a long time, and in the first week I knew him, wanted me to invest money with him, at a very high rate of return, and again, all because he wanted me to not have to work as hard. And if not for getting hives on my ass, I would have done it. But the team, in its infinite wisdom, made certain that I was such a nervous wreck over it that I couldn't do it. So finally, you know, we're months down the road here, and I had an issue with his drinking, and from the very beginning it concerned me, and, you know, I could see that, you know, because he'd had an accident and a stroke, and again, making tons of excuses for him. And I have a huge issue about anybody who drinks and drives. I find that incredibly dangerous. And he didn't come back from a trip when he was supposed to. And when he told me, he finally got a hold of me, he was on the road, and I could tell he'd been drinking. And so he called me, actually, at the point he called me, he should have been home and said, well, I'm just getting on the road. And after calling me earlier in the morning and saying that he would be home by that time. So I was very upset about this, and I was upset for a number of reasons. This was the third time that he had, I thought, traveled and drank, okay, assuming that he was going everywhere he told me he was going. About midnight, I woke up, and very interestingly, I always say that my guides are very funny, because I woke up to somebody screaming in my ear, it's bullshit. You know, there wasn't any of this esoteric, no, no, darling, this is not what it was. And it
straight
startled
arrow.
Me.
Huh? Straight arrow.
It startled me out of bed. So I went downstairs, sat in the garage, because I had to leave the garage door open for him. And I sat there for a little while, and I said, you know, I'm done. And I closed the garage door. He didn't have an opener. He only had a key from the inside garage door into the house. And I went to bed. And the next morning, I texted him and told him that his belongings were out in the garage. And that I didn't want to talk to him, that I needed time to think. And then I was upset. And I'm not, you know, I'm not a screamer, yeller, whatever. You know, I just, something inside of me said, you have to do this. So, anyway, I went through a lot of soul searching for a couple of weeks. I really tried to get a grip on this. And, you know, I was still, interestingly enough, still making excuses for him, still, you know, concerned about him. And at the same time, realizing that there was no, you know, there was no future. I was exhausted. You know, it was very one-sided. I wasn't seeing the progress that I had hoped to see. It's not that he isn't a kind person, so please don't misunderstand that. But I was overgiving. I also didn't like what was happening with me, is that I was overgiving tremendously and didn't seem to be able to control it, which I found to be very, very interesting. I had this uncontrollable sensing of wanting to take care of him, which I just, that one frosted me more than, not that I don't want to take care of and love somebody, but this was like out of control. So I finally wrote to him, believe me, it wasn't, you know, we went through many drafts of this, and told him that I knew he was out of the country at the time, and I just told him, long story short, that it was really over, that as much as I loved him, that, you know, I needed something different in my life, and so did he, that I couldn't continue to be what it was I had been. And he, you know, so, you know, it was emotional for both of us. You know, my dogs were very attached and so on. And, you know, he had become very much enmeshed in my family. So he wrote me a note and said, well, I'm going to send you $1,000. So that you can never say that I took advantage of you. And I wrote him back, and I said, that doesn't even come close, but thank you for trying. No, what I said was, you know, I thank you, and I appreciate you trying to make this right, but I spent far more than that. And I didn't hear from him for a while, and I thought, well, he's back in the country. Didn't receive the money, so I finally texted him last week, and I said, John, you know, I haven't received the money, you know, are you back in the country? And he texted back and said, oh, yes, I'm back, and I've met someone. I'm incredibly happy, and thank you for being such a good friend. And I'll send you the $1,000. And I'm thinking, well, that's great. He didn't even have my address. So texted back my address, and that night, which was last Friday night, I was just physically ill because I thought, man, did he didn't waste any time. He's met somebody already, and he's obviously very happy and in love, and I could tell, you know, just from his response. And, you know, we all go through our little thing. We want people to suffer and miss us, you know, because I certainly was still suffering, you know. And so the next morning I was getting my nails done, whatever, it was Saturday morning, and I received a text that said, my other half got into my computer database and is emailing, you know, contacting all of my contacts, and if you receive a message from her, and he gave me her name, please just ignore it. And I just looked at my phone and went, what? Now, this is a businessman who was very private, never left his computer screen up ever, ever, and closed everything out every time he was on and off the computer, and I was just like, wow. And I thought it was very interesting that he would say my other half at such, you know, just things weren't making sense, and I didn't respond. I called my son. By this time, I'm at the hairdresser. I'm getting my hair cut. And I said, Rick, you know, this is what John said. Will you check my computer? And he went to the computer, and he said, okay, Mom, will you have a message? And I said, we'll open it up. And he went dead silent, and I said, Ricky? And he said, Mom, I can't read this to you. And I said, you have to. I said, because I'm here and I need to know what it says. I said, just buck it up and read it. And it was a message from her, very clear and very clean. She had been seeing John for a year, and he had asked her to marry him and in Italy in this fall. And I don't know that she said why she went into his computer database, but she must have suspected something. And at any rate, she found the emails between us, and he was denying, other than having dinner here, that he had never spent the night, or because he was here for months. He had never spent the night, and so on and so forth. And not only, she didn't want to do anything. She said, if you two are involved, really, you know, I'll step out. She said, but the day that you wrote the letter about putting his stuff in the garage, I was in town. And I'm thinking, well, that's why it took him so long and blah, blah, blah. I mean, all of a sudden, all the pieces came together, and I don't want to bore everybody to tears with the whole, but the details here are important because it was so obvious that I couldn't miss it. It was like served up to me in ways that I couldn't believe. Not only did he have this relationship with her, but, as she said, she found other families that he had in other places.
Well, and, that's a bit much.
And something snapped in me, and I have to say this. All along, I knew he was a gift to me. I knew that because he was triggering all of these other relationships I had had, I knew that he was a gift. I knew I was supposed to be with him. I knew that there was some great gift coming from all of this. I wasn't certain what it was. And what was interesting is that at that moment I snapped. And I texted him and I said, you need to call me immediately. And standing out in front of the salon with tinfoil in my hair, looking truly like an E.T., I let him have it. And I also told him, I said, this is what I spent on you. This is the money I expect to have immediately. And how could you do what you did? And all of the families. And I said, this sounds like, you know, a wonderful woman. And I hope that you're loyal to her because she deserves it. And, but at some point he hung up because I was ranting, I think, at that point. But when I got done with the phone call, I realized that I had hit my daddy's stuff, and the anger at my dad for leaving me at 5 years of age with my mother, this very brutal woman that she was, And what was so interesting is that in my life, and as a child, my aunt told me, you know, 15 years ago, she said, honey, when you were little, because I never knew it until then, she said, you would walk up to every man and ask if they were going to be your daddy, would they come and take care of you after your dad left? And she said it was so sad. And what I realized in that moment when I got angry at him for the first time, I really broke through that barrier, and I was able to really get angry, to set my boundaries, to tell him what I expected. And at the same time, broke through to Dad and realized that I was also expressing the anger to Dad at the same time. It was very, very powerful for me. Now, Monday, that was on Saturday, he said he'd have the money to me Monday. And Monday afternoon, I stepped out into the garage, and I have a couch and a table out there. I stepped out into the garage. There was an envelope on there with the money. And I actually got ill when I opened the envelope. And I realized that it was hitting me at a cellular level that I could not even explain, but all this daddy stuff was flooding out. On Wednesday, the team Wednesday morning was explaining how all of this was working with Dad before I started my first session. And they were showing me in all the parts and the pieces, and it was just so brilliant, and I was so excited. I did my first session, actually Veronica, with Bob. And then the next session I did with Dear Laura. And Laura, as often happens with people that have sessions with us, they're aboard ship the night before or have a major visit. And Laura had been aboard ship the night before her session. And the team was explaining to her how she was a composite, which is absolutely true, of, and this is what's happening, it's actually come out some of the channelings, by the way, that we are a composite, and now more than ever, of all of our lifetimes, we're able to actually dip in because we're going to be able to start accessing them. I had a wonderful letter from Wendy tonight that I wanted to share, but I was afraid we wouldn't have enough time, and I want to do it justice, so we'll do it next week, where she encountered in real time another aspect of herself, and it's a stunning story. But they also said, and no matter what, you have to go back to the mainframe. Now, I was in channel, and I don't generally remember sessions. But this one, boy, did I remember, because so much was happening to me, you know, going into this session. And she said she didn't understand the term mainframe, and the team went on to explain to her that the mainframe for us is God and Goddess, and mother and father. That is our mainframe. They also explained to me prior to this session with her that the anger that I had with father was also at God, and that I had had this little tete-a-tete with God at 5 because my father had left. And so I demanded a sign from God to prove to me that he was really there. And I woke up the next morning and the sign wasn't there. And my chiropractor found that a month ago in my emotional body, which I thought was really funny that it had come up through all this experience with John. So, you know, as all the pieces kind of came together, I was fascinated that, one, my boundaries. And this is something I really want to share with everybody, that the boundaries, because I had projected, he had something about him that was like my father, to the point where I literally treated him like baby Jesus and made total excuses for him. I didn't support my own personal boundaries, which is so unlike me, on any level with him. And so what I was really working with was the mainframe. Okay? My relationship with... Go ahead.
Mother and father, does that mean of this life, or does that mean an archetype that goes right through all lives?
I would say it's mother and father of this life. However, we know in this lifetime that this is a culminating lifetime, so we are bringing into this lifetime the themes of all lifetimes in this universe. And this is why so often, Veronica, when we're working with people, we can see where something is ancient in their energy field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have this sensing of an ancient quality, something that they've re-experienced over and over and again in lifetime after lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
I know in my situation that this has been a recurring thing for me in lifetime after lifetime. And, by the way, I'm up in the healing room in with my master bedroom and my dressing room. Doors are opening and closing. Things are going on up here you just wouldn't believe. they're having a field day right now. Oh, goodness sakes. So, this is of such great importance, a huge importance for me. And I hope for anybody that's listening to this story, if it touches something in you, okay, since they've informed me that, you know, I'm the living parable, that I live these experiences and then share them, that perhaps out of this there may be something for anybody who's listening. I don't know what piece it may trigger for you. The interesting part for me is I have no anger at John. I have friends who have called him a con artist and a this and a that. And, you know, it's so interesting. I don't feel any of that. I'm not making excuses. I see him as this incredible gift. I won't say that he's consciously aware of being the gift that he is, or maybe he is. He's definitely a person that triggers everybody. And he did from the day he walked into my house. He triggered other family members. I mean, he triggered friends. He just triggers. So, you know, maybe he's one of those people that does that. You know, maybe there's another aspect of him. Who knows? I know that I came out of this financially restored, which is a very big issue for me. The first time I had one other relationship that I was okay in. But, I mean, out of all of my marriages and everything, this is the only time I came out clean. So that's pretty amazing. and an interesting comment he made, because I texted him to thank him for doing the right thing, and he wrote back and said, I always do the right thing. Okay.
Plus the subjective reality. You said it yourself.
Here we go with subjective reality. Absolutely. And, again, the subjective reality for me and what I've seen is that for so many of my friends, the different responses that they've had to this and how angry they've been, some of them angry at me, you know, because they said, we told you, and I'm like, yes, I know. But I am so grateful that I walked through this. I got so much out of it. This for me to heal this in this lifetime is a freedom for me that I don't even know yet how it's going to manifest in my life. I mean, I know that in terms of relationship and all kinds of other things. The other gift that I got is that I could go into and out of a relationship and not come near death. You know, I made it through. I did get kind of wimpy there for a while. But, so this is another big issue that gives me a sense of safety to go out and interact in the world. But I have found this to be an incredible experience. I have said thank you 1,000 times over. I'd thank John, but he would never know why.
We don't always hear each other, do we?
I don't think he would have an understanding of what it did. I don't think. I know. I absolutely know. I don't think that this was all done at a conscious level. And also, I don't think that he's really a bad person. Exactly what he was doing, I have no idea. but I know that he gave me a gift ultimately. And whether he intended to or not is immaterial. So that's my story.
Hmm. Thank you for that.
Please understand this was a difficult one to tell because, you know, the ego can certainly run around with this kind of stuff. And I absolutely know that in our business, Veronica, we don't have room for ego. You know, the goal is to share as much as we can and help people to walk through things so that they, you know, don't take it personally as well. They can just see the gifts in it. At any rate, I'm going to go into channel here, and you can talk to the team.
I hope you feel better, do you?
Yeah, just getting it out helps me a lot. It was getting ready for this and writing notes and stuff that I was just, poof, not good.
Well, good work, Jackie. Thank you.
Well. Before I go into channel, just so you know, because I know there'll be a chapter two to this, and what the team has already shown me is that my daughter is the mother relationship that I'm not done.
Oh, my. God, I guess you knew you weren't done with that, right?
Right. And I just thought, could you guys just give me a little break?
Tea break.
Just a little itty-bitty one. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Jackie.
All right, everyone, all right. Wonderful to be with all of you. And we have quite an audience here tonight, so. Many of her good friends who have crossed over and many of her friends on the other side of the veil of different dimensions and races are all, they're actually applauding. She doesn't really understand, but this was a very big, big, healing for our dear Jackie.
Oh, wonderful.
So we hope that you were all able to kind of listen through this and pick and choose that which applies to you, if in fact it does in any way. There are so many pieces to this. Love of self, boundaries, the life of your dreams, not allowing that to turn into a nightmare, understanding, and this is a big one, that no matter what your life has presented to you, pointing the finger at other people will never get you healed. Go back to mom and dad. Not to point the finger at them, not to blame them, but to look at the blueprint, the mainframe, as was so wonderfully put to Laura, the mainframe. And the relationship, of course, with mom and dad, reflective of relationships with God and Goddess. Now, these are big issues, people, very big issues. As you heard in one of the channelings from dear Karen Bishop, the possibilities now, very definitely, of pulling away from family, relationships that you have with them based on karmic patterns, no longer needing to be there. If you've healed. If you haven't, it is the channel's case here with the daughter and the mother. There's still a piece for her where she's going to have to get angry and do what she never did with mom. With daughter. She calls it snap. She's going to have to snap, and it's coming soon. Now, we don't want any of you to feel guilty or to feel that you'll never see any of these people again. That's not the case. It can change down the road, people. But things are changing rapidly now. And if you're trying to patch things together, hold things together, it's not going to be comfortable for you. We promise you that. That's not the goal. Yes, everything has changed. Yes, your realities are subjective. Now, for some of you, you may hear other family members or friends or whatever say, well, they did this or they said that or this, and you may look at it and go, well, I never did that. They're lying. But please remember, in their reality, their subjective reality, it's true. For them. So
have enough. Apologize?
Sorry?
Do we apologize, or where's the boundary?
Well, that's what you have to decide.
Oh, dear.
We would not say that you have to apologize.
Hmm.
If they have projections all over you, what are you going to apologize for? Their projections? That just means that they're not healed, Veronica. And those projections, those unhealed parts of themselves, all right, is what they're experiencing. You had nothing to do with it. You just happened to be the wrong place, wrong time.
You don't think we're set up to be a trigger? Or?
Well, you can be, of course.
Hmm.
But apologizing isn't going to solve it. Because they'll find something else to be angry about. Do you understand?
I think I do, yes.
Yes, there won't be a way to make it all right. That's what we want you to understand. And if you do that, you'll just keep walking away feeling worse and worse and worse. So what we recommend, and some of you are going to experience this, where you're going to say, you know, I just as soon not talk to them or be around them. Or you may even find that physically you don't feel good being around them. And that's all right. What we're trying to do here is give you permission to be able to make the choices that make you feel good. Do you understand?
Yes.
All right. We're not judging any of it. But sometimes it's better just to step out of the way. To allow them to do what they need to do in their subjective reality. So they can make the choices that they need to make. And for some of them, they may have to go through some difficult times to get there. You're not going to be able to fix it for them. Not now. We would actually say you never were, but you thought you were perhaps in other times. Does that make sense for you?
Yes, it does. I actually responded to my sister being very, very angry, and none of our conversations would work, and it didn't matter what I said. And I realized that she was so angry, blindingly angry with me. So I just apologized. That's what I did. I just finally said, I don't know what it all is, but I'm sorry for whatever I've done. Just to clear away that venom. So I might have done the wrong thing, but
well,
I felt like I was on a different universe, and it was easing
all right.
Interacting.
All right. Again, we're not going to say that it's a bad thing to do, but all right, she's dealing with all kinds of things with you from other lifetimes. She has no clarity about.
Mm-hmm.
And childhood issues and all kinds of other things. And it's all a jumble. And how can you, plus you trigger her, how can you be responsible for all of that?
That's the part I apologize for, that I trigger her.
All right, that's all right. You can apologize for triggering her.
Mm.
But not that you've done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry if I'm your trigger, but I haven't done anything wrong.
Mm-hmm.
From my subjective reality. Now,
difficult, isn't it?
Oh, yes. And it's going to get more so, Veronica.
Oh, dear.
Oh, yes. And that's all right. What you're also going to see is how malleable your realities are. They could be one thing in one moment, and 5 minutes later, if you don't allow yourself to get undone about it, you can actually shift and change them to what it is you desire. That's getting pretty exciting, isn't it?
Yeah.
In some cases, you may need a few more minutes or hours. But holding your resonance now is going to be very important. Now, notice we didn't say that you can't lose your temper or you can't. Yes, you can. But be clear about why you are. And then once done, clear it out. Don't hold it. Be done with it. You don't want anything that attaches you to the past. And old anger attaches you to the past. It's kind of like walking around with a ball and chain around your ankle. Well, you know, why would you want to do that? It slows down your process, you know, and your life. You want to be as free and clear as you can possibly be. Forgive. Let go. And if you can't, sit down and process through why. Now you can say, oh, they hurt me. You're functioning in an illusion, people. Did you allow that to happen? You know, in one of the channelings, who was the stronger creator? You going to blame someone because they got what they wanted? And you cooperated? In the channel's case, yeah. In the channel's case. Her boyfriend's desire to have gourmet meals and be well-fed and so on and so forth was greater. All right?
Yeah, it sure was.
And her desire to please him, right, overrode boundaries. Who was the greater creator? Or was she just a participant in something that needed to be played out until she was no longer willing to do it, until she could finally see it so that it wasn't on automatic.
Mm-hmm.
So she could bust through it and not step into that behavior. Now, that would be true for all of you. Now, with your sister, Veronica,
mm-hmm.
there is a behavior that comes up around her, isn't there?
Yes.
And what would you call that?
I mean, on my part?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Is there
I think
a fear or a concern that she's going to be angry with you?
Yes. Usually.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I think because she often has been.
All right. So like a puppy, kind of, that you know, if you kick the dog enough, why, it'll shy away.
Mm-hmm.
So in a way, do you kind of walk into it bobbing and weaving a little, right?
Well, according to Bob, I just set myself up over and over again. I try and tell her things that I think will help and expand her life, and it always annoys her. I'll say, well, guess what I'm doing? And suddenly she's in a rage, you know.
Well, of course. What do you think that is, by the way?
I think it's that she's supposed to be in charge of the family, and I'm the second child, and I'm fast and keep going at all these things that she can't handle, probably.
Well, two things. You trigger her shame, and she feels judged.
Hmm.
And you stick your finger in there and twist.
Oh, I do?
And you don't even realize that's what you're doing.
I don't like that. Wow.
Oh, you don't do it with malice.
I hope not.
But you're definitely the trigger. And if she didn't have shame, it wouldn't bother her.
Hmm.
If she felt wonderful about herself, she could sit down with you and say, well, Veronica, that's fabulous. How exciting. But she doesn't feel good enough about herself to be able to do that.
So basically what I do is jar her all the time by whatever she's at, I push the limit on her. I think that's
trigger
what I do.
Trigger her shame.
Mm-hmm.
A lack of self-esteem and value. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't get triggered any other way. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. So what does a person do then? Just walk away or not say anything? Or?
Well, quit talking about what you're doing.
Okay.
And quit trying to tell her what you think she should do.
No, I don't think I do that, do I?
Well, the implication may be there.
Yes, maybe.
And again, this is a multiple lifetime situation. It's not one.
Hmm.
Multiple lifetimes. All right? That's why you get lost in it, Veronica.
Hmm.
You understand?
So do we go through the healing of the mother, talking about the mainframe? Our mutual mother or our mutual shame that goes through lifetime?
Well, we would take it back to mother because that's where the relationships start.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly you've had an issue with mother.
Oh, yes.
Right. And one would presume that she did as well.
She had a terrible time with mother.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, that's where the healing is. That is the mainframe.
Mm.
Now, there are other elements. Please understand that. And if we talk about the channel, all right, and other lifetimes that she's had with John that triggered her response, that aligned with Dad. There's more subtleties that flow into all of this.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Recognition at soul level, so on and so forth. So, yes.
And we'll have to sign off shortly.
Oh, all right. All right. Mm-hmm. Now, Veronica, your shows have changed, so if you want to quickly tell about that, and then we'd like to talk to everybody for a moment.
All right, next Tuesday at 8 o'clock on Paradigm Shifters, Michael Drew, who's talking about consciousness and business and starting a new publishing business online and so on. It's quite exciting.
Yeah.
And Radiance by Design next Thursday night at 7 o'clock and then back with you at 8 o'clock next Thursday night.
All right. Now, everyone, what we would like to do with you is tonight, if you call us in, we would like to work with you at the level of the mainframe, at the level of mom and dad, God and goddess. Because those are the levels where the true sense of value, esteem, love, where they come from, versus abandonment, all of the other side. We would love to work with each and every one of you if you call us in tonight. Because this is the big work, everyone. Regardless of your relationship. The big work. Oh, we're talking about other relationships, which are just sub-relationships off of the main relationship. Know that we love each and every one of you. We are so excited to see where you're all going. And we're watching. We promise. Veronica, we love you as well.
Thank you, and you.
And we send to each and every one of you our total, complete, unconditional love, dear ones. Remember, there's no mistake you can make that will ever be judged. There are no mistakes. We love you. Namaste.
Namaste. And thank you to Jackie as well. Many blessings, everyone.